What was once a boundless domain now looks more and more like the direst stories on the telly, because that, increasingly, is all she's getting to see of it. A cluttered sitting room in a doll's house has become my grandmother's whole world. No wonder she arranges it with such care. This book is an anthology of rooms that might seem nothing like the one in which my grandmother sits. There is a cave where men turn into wolves, and a chair that, when it's put in the right place, connects heaven and earth. There's a dungeon in an enchanted island, and a boudoir for an enchantress lined with magic mirrors. There's a cage containing a priceless mountain of light, and a room that's made only of air. Strange they might seem, but they are all like the doll's house, for each one of them is an interior. It is only since the 19th century that people have been writing histories of them. Some, like Edith Wharton's The Decoration of Houses, are guides to high society taste and manners. Others, such as John Pyle's exhaustive History of Interior Design, treat the interior as the inward extension of architecture. Others still, such as Steve Parisien's Interiors, The Home Since 1700, explore the middle-class values of comfort and display. More recently, Bill Bryson's Home is the latest in a long line of histories of domestic life. In general, histories of the interior have been written by, for, and about women, like my grandmother, the homemakers of the aspirational bourgeoisie. But this history will argue that the art of the interior is something even more important than the making of the middle-class home, for it has been provoked by the words of Mario Prats, who was both a historian of the home and a scholar of Romantic literature. The interior, he argued, is...